Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I will do a new thing in you. Whatever you ask for, whatever you desire, Lord. Hallelujah, yes, Lord. I will do a new thing in you. I will do a new thing in you. Nothing will be denied. Nothing will be denied. No, it won't. Nothing will be denied. Say it, the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's God's word to us today. Hallelujah. That's his word. He's doing a new thing in us. Hallelujah. He is doing a new thing in us. Whatever we ask for, whatever we desire, nothing will be denied, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the integrity of this ministry. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't ever want this place to be someplace where folks just come and people are doing church. People doing church is what's gotten the church in the place it's in right now. Powerless, not having integrity, not being the church that stands for the truth of God. That's the problem today. Because people have been doing church. We don't want to do church. I want God to come in and do God. I want him to come in and do himself. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm grateful to God today. Like I said, saints, he's working on me. He's working on me. Hallelujah. God is working on humbling me. He's making me humble. He's bringing me down. Time to come down a little lower, dear. Don't get too high up there. Come down, come down, come down. And how God does that, you know, he puts you in situations there, woman, where you have to be humble, you know. So, like I said, pray for me. I love the job, but I see already some of the challenges I'm going to have. Some of my colleagues, it's going to be a little challenging to work with them. I see that. I see that. But God is humbling me. He's humbling me. And, you know, I thank God for the time. I thank God for my husband, period. I really do. And I thank God for my sons. Tyler is not here. He's at work, as Timmy mentioned, but he worked yesterday. He worked setting up the table, setting up the chairs, running back and forth. He worked setting up the clothes with Pam. He worked. He brought everything in. He worked. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God. It didn't have to be that way. He's not perfect. None of my children are perfect on him. I got imperfect children. But I thank God for what God is doing in them, and I thank God for what he's doing in Tyler. I thank God for what God is doing in Timothy. I can't even begin to tell you the testimony, my God, based on what teachers said and what it looked like. But God, that's all I can say. 18 years of life, and I've got a studious, a loving, and very intelligent, capable young man that I'm just happy on. It wasn't supposed to be that way, according to the teachers and according to what everybody else said, but God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Praise God. But I'm thankful for my husband because we have shared in the ministry walk from the time we got married. We was doing ministry. Our first date together, official date, we led somebody to Christ when we came back home. He brought me home. And we saw a girl in the lobby that we both knew, and we just started talking to her and stayed there, and we talked to her, and we prayed with her and led her to the Lord. And it's been like that from day one with him. But my husband is a loving man, and he's kind-hearted. And if I needed a fan, he'd be my biggest fan, but he will always talk about his wife. He will always press me up. So when I came in, he pulled me to the side and said, "Go ahead on and preach today." And I was not thinking that at all. My mind coming in, I wanted to do praise and worship, and you know, but that's how God humbles you. God takes you out of the mind of you putting yourself here, and he lets you come down here. Then he lifts you up the way he wants to lift you up, see? Because when God lifts you, it's right lifting. It's not you. And so with all humility, knowing that it is the Lord that does the work, I pray that he would speak to us today. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, praise God, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. And I tell you sincerely, saints, the word has already been given. In all of your testimonies, the word has come forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 20, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Begin reading at verse 1. Praise God. And the word of God reads, "In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall, meaning Hezekiah did, and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Hallelujah. And if I was to give this message a title, hallelujah, it would be the mercies of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord. You know, in every testimony that has gone forth today, I heard of God's goodness. I heard of God's mercy. You know, God is just good. He is good. We know he's good. We accept that. We receive that. But when God is so caring enough to go into your life, particularly, and do something that touches you, it may not touch nobody else, but it touches you, then that's more than goodness. That's a special kind of mercy. That's a special kind of hand on you that he didn't have to do. See, because if God didn't save your tires, Minister Carolyn, if God had let you go past that speed limit, even up to the speed limit that you wanted to go, I wonder if God, let's say he had you smoking, not God would have you doing it, but let's say you were smoking 30 packs of cigarettes a day. You know what? If God didn't change Timmy's life, if he didn't do nothing for me, if I was still in prison, somehow I got out and went right back on in, and Toby was still on drugs and going back for, you know what? God would still be good, y'all?
Yes, he would.
He would still be good.
Yes.
You know, because my life don't determine the goodness of God.
Right.
I'm nobody. I mean, the world has billions of people in it. Who am I? Who are we?
Yes.
That we should feel like God's got to do something. God ain't got to do nothing for us. If he don't never do nothing another day, he's already done so very much.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But God ain't like that. God cares about, he says, the word says he has counted the very hairs on your head. Man, how good can he be?
Yes.
Awesome God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And you mean to tell me he got time to count the very hairs on my head? He's good, y'all. He's so good. He's so good. And it's that thought that takes me to that humbling place, because I realize how much he cares. And because he cares this much, I shouldn't be concerned about anything. Not a thing. Let's look at the scripture. Hallelujah. I want to read one more scripture right before we go into that. Hallelujah. The Lord is leading and having his way. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Book of Isaiah chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to begin at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Praise the Lord. Oh, no, I can wait. We can back up. That's a good thing about being here. We got time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're gonna start that again. We're at chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs. From the altars. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Again, the title of the message is The Mercies of God. I wanted to read that scripture in Isaiah because I wanted you to know that same Isaiah is the same Isaiah that came to Hezekiah. You know, we who are in ministry sometimes get a little heady because we read scriptures that talk about the fivefold ministries, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. And we think that since we may be one of those, we're up here, and everybody else is down there. Prophets especially, because they are the mouthpiece of God. They are there to open their lips, and as their mouth opens, God's word pours out through them. So they feel high. I've been around people who have the prophetic calling. As a matter of fact, our apostle started a prophetic school for the prophets. And you know, it's elitist. You know, only certain people are going to be in that type of atmosphere, in that type of place. And sometimes people that have a gift from God, they feel like they're better than other folk. I wanted again to go into that passage in Isaiah because I wanted you not only to know that this same Isaiah was the one that spoke to Hezekiah, but I wanted you to see what Isaiah experienced. Now, I've had a vision from the Lord. The Lord only gave me one vision. I haven't had many. I don't dream dreams. Tim dreams dreams sometimes. But I don't have that on me. Lord's not given that to me. I had one vision. But my one vision, I can surely tell you this, was nothing like what Isaiah saw. I didn't see seraphim, you know, two covered their face, two covered their feet, and two that they're flying with. I didn't see no seraphim. You can believe that on woman. I did not see smoke in that vision. I didn't see the house and then the angel saying, this voice saying that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. I didn't see no vision like that. I really didn't. But can you imagine the man who saw that kind of vision? How the relationship that he had to have had with God, that God would open up his eyes to see that. And then after that vision was over, how he must have walked and talked with God. What he must have felt like in himself. You know, we like to feel validated. We like to be sure that what we think is real. So, you know, if I think I'm doing good with God, I like to have something to prove it to me. Surely a vision like this would have to prove to Isaiah, you know you something special. You saw God's seraphim. You, man, the angel went and picked up a live coal with the tongs and put it on your lips. Whoa, Isaiah, you know you the man. Who was going to mess with Isaiah? I mean, that ain't no ordinary vision. That's no ordinary vision. So this is Isaiah. God tells Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, put your house in order. Let me go back to you, directly to the word. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So remember now, this is Isaiah the prophet. This is the man of God that saw God in the fullness of his glory. If he's saying, you know, it's said. That's it. You know, that's it. What more? If Aunt Willa tell me something about the neighborhood, I know she been there a long time, and she done seen it come. When I go and question her, I go, well, Aunt Willa don't know. No, she said it. Aunt Willa said it, and Aunt Willa knows. That's it. This Isaiah told Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to die. You're not going to live. That was settling, wouldn't it? But the word says, Hezekiah turned his face toward the walls and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He just said, remember, Lord, I walked before you. I was loyal to you. Wasn't perfect, but I was loyal to you, Lord. Ain't nobody perfect. No matter how great you may be, we all sin at different times and still fall short of God's glory. But because of the blood of Jesus that is upon our lives, the Bible says we walk in his righteousness. So even when I have a wrong thought, and woman, I got to ask God to forgive me, I'm still covered under the blood. So when God looks at me, he just sees the blood. And then because I see that blood too, hallelujah, I know I got to get right. Hallelujah, minister. I've got to put that sin, I got to repent from that sin and put it behind me. I got to walk uprightly and walk circumspectly because, see, I love Jesus. And I don't want to do nothing that's going to hurt him, Pastor. So I've got to walk right. Right, Tim? Young prophet, I've got to walk right before God. That's what God is expecting us to do. Hallelujah. So Hezekiah just said, remember me, Lord. Remember. Remember that I walk uprightly before you. And I've done what was good in your sight. And he wept bitterly. And the word says that before Isaiah hit the middle court, God told him to turn around and tell Hezekiah this.
Well, let me go back. I'm going to read exactly what he told Hezekiah. Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Even though the prophet said the right words, even though the prophet told Hezekiah just what God told him, God changed his mind. God turned it around. God said, no, I'm not going to let it stand there. You know, this is why I'm humble today. Because God is still doing that same thing today for us. He's still changing his mind for us. He's still working things out. He's still looking past the situation, past what we may deserve, past what the world says about us, and he's still bringing blessings our way in spite of. You know, when God goes over his own man, just because he loves you that much and he cares about how you feel, you know that's a great God. He went over his prophet Isaiah. He knew what Isaiah had spoken to Hezekiah was what he told him to say. But he ignored that and sent Isaiah back to him. And you know what it says to me? Man, God loves us seriously. He loves us so deeply that there's nothing that's going to keep him from blessing us when our hearts are inclined to serve him, when our hearts are inclined to love him. The point that I was making on Thursday, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to close, Pastor, hallelujah. So that's the word, that the love of God. God's love was not only so great and awesome that he was willing to turn around everything that he said to Isaiah the first time and give Isaiah a new directive to tell Hezekiah. But not only that, but God knowing everything knew that in those 15 years that Hezekiah's life had been extended, the worst, the most wicked king there was in all of the history of Israel, maybe not worse than Jeroboam. Jeroboam was pretty bad. But this was Judah now. Manasseh was going to be born. And not only was Manasseh born, but Manasseh being Hezekiah's youngest son was the one that came to power, and he ruled. And he was the worst king. Now, you know, God could have said, you know, I know you cried, Hezekiah, and I feel your tears, but, you know, I don't want Manasseh to be born. And see, you getting ready to have a son that's going to be so wicked. Man, he, you know, God could have easily said, I'm not going to let that be. But in his goodness, he still added on those 15 years to Hezekiah's life and allowed Manasseh to be born and allowed Manasseh to become king in spite of, all because a man wept and cried out before God in his tears, and God wanted him to know that he heard his prayers. He saw his tears. God still sees our tears today. He still hears our prayers today. He's still concerned with everything that bothers us. And if we just remember that, the joy that we can have in our hearts, we need to walk every day knowing God sees me. Even when, you know, Pastor Toby's message on Wednesday was pray without ceasing. And he spoke on how praying without ceasing is not necessarily having a time to pray all day long. Now, we have an aunt, we call her an aunt, she's really cousin, in Washington, and she literally prays for a few hours of the day, first three hours or so of the day, three or more hours, 5 hours of the day, she's in prayer. Her lifestyle will allow her to do that. My lifestyle right now won't allow me to do that. Most of us don't have that time to pray in that way, unless we're going to get up maybe 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that and go for it that way. You don't have to pray on your knees every day for hours. You don't have to stand with your hands like this for hours of the day and pray. You can have a mind of prayer as you walk and live and talk, working and praying, washing and praying, You could be in the classroom, and while the teacher's talking, you praying in your mind. That's praying without ceasing.
Yes.
That's the attitude we need to have. And when you walk in that way, when you live in that way, you're going to remember the mercies of God.
Yes.
You're going to remember how thoughtful God is to you. You're going to realize that there's never a time that he is not caring about you, not interested in you, not there. God is with us every moment of every day.
Yes.
The Bible says he is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And he can be there with you. He is right there with you. You just have to open up your eyes to receive it. But when you are not in that mindset to realize it, that's when we worry. That's when we fret. That's when we make mistakes. That's when we get off course. We need to walk, Pastor Toby, with that pray without ceasing mindset and remember the mercies of God, that God would hear the prayers of a man that was set to die, told he was going to die by the prophet, and yet God would change his mind and send that same prophet back to him and say, no, you're going to live. Don't worry. I'm going to add 15 years to your life. You're going to the house of the Lord in 3 days. Don't even worry about a thing. That's the God that we serve. And I rejoice because we serve that God today. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give God a hand clap of praise for being God. Hallelujah. For being our God. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yay,
he's worthy. The Lord is worthy. He's a mighty God. You don't have to stay with one thing and you get your whole life pulled into one. Your whole life unfolds before you when he says, see, and it is. Think about it. That's the kind of God we serve. And when you get up here, like my wife said, I tell you, she never speaks to a many me. She's your friend. She's your sister. She's your mother. She's your pastor. She never. Well, Wilma, someone wants to ask you, but it's private. Wait, can you wait this minute? If you can't, in private, after service. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just for you. Amen. Listen, I'm sorry. Apologize. But thank you. Even more. That preaching moment that God gave me, he made me understand something that was for the people. And that he's saying, tell my people to pray without ceasing. Now, I knew that because that's the word. But as my wife said, she reiterated that it's not meant for us to be, you know, as the Pharisees did. They walk around looking holy, you know, and amongst the people. And that gave the people pause to say, wow, look at them. And see, doing that takes their mind off God, the God as he truly is. And that was the intent of the Pharisees. They did not want the people to know God as he was. Because then they would have to be subject to all that they had done and all that they had said already. This world we live in, the government, the education system, the way everything is set up, all of the things that have been ushered in, the act of homosexuality can marry now. When we know that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All these things. People are doing just all kind of things and being with they call it licentiousness. Licentiousness, excuse me. We do what you want to do. I'm doing my thing. But I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing, and he's more than a thing. He is the one that created all things. He is the Lord of glory, high and lifted up.
Hallelujah.
Making himself present and interceding for us here in this earth realm.
Yes.
I said to Sister Carol yesterday, and she, her eyes went up. She said, when I said, what is it that he's so mindful of us?
My God.
His people, what is it that we so mindful of me? Toby?
My God.
The things that I've been in, Timothy, young and budding a minister of the Lord, Sister Carol, her testimony, she told it. She know what she was. We went through it. That's the beauty of it. He said, it comes to pass, not to stay. Thank you, God, for that, knowing that now. That what I've done in my past didn't work there for me to hold on to and get a grip on it. He said, hold on to this life loosely.
Yes.
He said, don't hold too tight, because if you do, you're going to get dragged along with it. So I thank God for that, he said. And then the key thing is, why is he so mindful? Why is he so mindful of us? You, me, what is it that we do?
My Lord.
We're his creation.
Yes, Lord.
The only. You go 1,000 years from here into another planet, another world.
My Lord.
God is the creator.
Yes.
But he's so mindful because he created us. Only us. Not the animals. Not cats, dogs, monkeys, trees, even his angels. He created us in his image, in his life.
That's right. Right.
That's why he's so mindful.
That's right.
Because he put himself in us.
Holy.
And said, go and tell them about me.
Holy.
Get so good at it when he tells them about me, they fall to his knees and ask, what must I do to be saved? How can I come from where I am to this? That's what God gave, left us here with. So he's mindful of us, and he says, I'm gonna how's the word in the Bible says, I charge you now, therefore. To be ye transforming your mind to the and renew it. It's your reasonable service. To renew your mind. Every waking day we renew our mind, that's God. What must I do, God? Can I? Will I? If we didn't have this church building, we had to stand outside and wave at people going by and tell them Jesus loves them and have a sermon, stand amongst ourselves. Wherever you bring the Spirit of God, he's in the midst.
Hallelujah.
And he will show out, or he'll show up and show out.
Yes.
And that's what I'm grateful for.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we have this building. We're here. But where are we tomorrow? Only God knows. So stand in him, keep in him, love him, keep thinking of him. Your life means more to him than any of it, all his creation.
Yes.
Us, his creation. Man. That is
Hallelujah.
It.
Amen.
So there's your prayer without ceasing. That's what you do when you pray without ceasing.
Yes.
You stand before him and ask him again and again. I heard John with me say, talk to him. That's prayer.
That's
giving yourself over to him. Ain't nothing fancy about it. I ain't jumping up and down with the mic on my mouth going, hey, I ain't got to do that. I don't know how to do it. My teeth might fall out when I do it. I don't know. But I tell you, I know one thing I can do. I can pray.
Amen.
I can do that because that's what he gave me to do. And I love doing it. I'm grateful. So on that note, I'm going to let my wife come and do the benediction. We're going to close out, and for our coffee drinkers, I made some coffee. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise, my brother.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God be the glory. God be all the glory. Thank God for all of you. Thank y'all for your love, your tenderness, for your support. But yesterday, hallelujah, and for the things that God gives us in the days to come, because we really want to hear him. We don't want to move and just do things according to our own script. It's got to be him. So we're thankful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And the Church of God at City on the Hill said, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.